Welcome to Belmont. I'm Pastor John. Glad you guys are here this morning. If you would, do me a favor. Go ahead and reach inside of your bulletin there. You should have an insert that looks like this right here. All right. If you did not get a bulletin today and you don't see one of these laying on the pew, just go ahead and grab one away from your neighbor real quick. That's it. There you go. You got it. Or you might just be able to share with a neighbor that's right around you. But I have some good news I wanted to share with the congregation this morning. You know, back in the Christmas season, which was so long ago, right? We started taking up an offering called the Christmas Missions Offering. And we had a goal of $10,000. And we wanted to be able to be a blessing to missions both here in Roanoke, around our country, and also around the globe. And so we set what we thought was a pretty lofty goal of $10,000 to just be able to give all of that 100%, give it away toward missions work so that more people could come to know Jesus Christ. And so I'm happy to report to you this morning that we actually surpassed that goal and we actually raised $13,500. So that is a huge blessing. And so if you have that paper there, I'd love to just walk through that with you for a second and share with you how we as a church are planning to use those funds that you guys gave so generously. Thank you so much for opening up and sharing what the Lord has blessed you with. You know, we said that 60% of our offering would go toward church planting efforts, and that's true. Some of that's going to go to the Hill Church right here in Roanoke. Some of that's going to go to our friends in Puerto Rico, who we've actually been in touch with this very weekend because, as you know, they've been having earthquakes, and so they can really put this money to use by going and supporting. In fact, they went out this weekend and fed over 400 meals to people who are not able to get back into their homes and who are without power. And so our sister church in Puerto Rico is going out into their community and serving their community and loving their community in the name of Christ. And we get to participate in that with them by being able to be a blessing to them financially. And then, of course, we're also going to be using a portion of that money to plant a church in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, here in the upcoming couple of years. And so that's an exciting thing. Side note here, one of our goals, you'll hear about some of the goals that we have for our church this year, but one of our 2020 goals for this year is that we are praying that God would have two family units in our church by the end of this year, be praying about and commit to moving to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And so I've got a couple of people that I've been praying for that God would call them to leave. Just kidding. So I know that may sound like a crazy kind of a thing to pray, but let me encourage you just to start praying, Lord, not my will, but yours. So what you want me to do, I'll do it. And that's always a great way to start your morning. Then 10% of the funds will go to international missions through the Cooperative Giving Program. We'll be giving that directly to something called the Lottie Moon Christmas Offering. And when we do that, 100% of that bypasses all the local offices and stuff in our denomination and go straight to the mission field, and so we're able to support that. The least of these ministries that's run by David and Dawn Sandoval, who is a real blessing to the homeless community here in Roanoke, they'll be receiving a portion of those funds. The Blue Ridge Women's Center, who is a huge blessing in our valley by supporting women who are dealing with unplanned pregnancies and talking to them about the importance of life, the life that God has given, we'll receive a portion of that. And then already our benevolence team was able to use $700 to be a blessing to families in need or families that needed an extra boost at Christmas. And so they were able to be a blessing in that way. And then the remaining portion of that will be going to the Sailors family, who we just prayed for a few moments ago. And they have a lot of needs right now, as you might imagine. Thank you once again for giving above and beyond your regular giving, for being a blessing at Christmas, and it's just a great testimony to what the Lord is doing here at Belmont and doing in the hearts of people who love Him and follow Him. Amen? Can we give the Lord one more? Yeah, one more of these. If you turn that paper over, you see on the back side just kind of a snapshot or a picture of the sermon series that we're going through right now is called Helping People Be. And it's really more than a sermon series. It's actually a heartbeat for the church for 2020 to say, what are we about here at Belmont? And what we are about is helping people be who God created them to be. That's just another way of saying that we want to glorify God by making disciples. And so we want to see people come to saving faith in Christ, believe Him. We want to see them belong to a church family, grow up in Him, and then really figure out how God wired them and become a person who is serving and a person who is on mission loving their neighbors. All right? Amen? And so that is a snapshot of the whole sermon series and really our 2020 vision for this year. In fact, I've already been able to use it. It's really neat to be able to say, hey, what do you do? What is your church all about? In fact, you might have people at your work or at your school or whatnot hear you talking about your church all the time, how amazing your pastor is. And once in a while, they might say, well, what's Belmont all about? And then you could just simply reply to them, well, we're about helping people be who God created them to be. And that's a really cool thing to be able to say. In fact, just a couple of weeks ago, I was at a family gathering, and there was a young girl there about 6, 7 years old, and her mom is a baker. She bakes cakes for a living, and so she makes these wonderful, like, great-tasting but also really good-looking cakes that should, like, be on TV and stuff, right? So she was kind of bragging. She's like, yeah, my mom makes cakes. Here's, like, some of the pictures on her phone of all the cakes that she's made. And I was like, man, that is so cool, man. That is an awesome, that, I mean, that's the kind of, if I wasn't a pastor, I'd want to be a baker. You know what I'm saying? And so she goes, well, what do you do? And I thought for a second, I was like, that's a good question. No, I'm just kidding. I thought for a second, and what was really neat was to be able to get down on one knee and say, you know what I do? I help people be who God created them to be. And that's a really cool thing that I get to do day in and day out, but it's really something that we all get to do. We all get to participate in this process of seeing people come to know Jesus, walk with Him, and grow up in Him. And so let's go to the Lord in prayer. We'll jump into our sermon for the day, and let's ask God to bless the reading and the studying of His Word. Lord Jesus, thank You so much for Your life. Thank You for becoming sin so that we could have Your righteousness, so that we could be changed into Your likeness. And so, Lord, today as we open up Your Word, God, I pray that You would help us to see what we can't see, to hear what we can't hear, to know what we couldn't know without the help of Your Holy Spirit. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week, we started out talking about a guy named Saul who became the Apostle Paul, and how God transformed his life, how he was traveling to Damascus to persecute the church, and then boom, a bright light came from heaven, and Paul came to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we saw how he was accepted into the Christian community with a bit of caution at first, as you might understand. And then he belonged to that community and then really flourished and became the person that God wanted him to be. And so we saw a good example of how this process works in someone's life. But this week, we're going to make it a little bit more personal. If you have your copy of the scriptures or your phone, go ahead and turn in your Bible or on your device to Romans chapter 12. We'll be looking at verses 1 and 2 today. If you're taking notes, the title of our message today is Transformed. Transformed. And really, the challenge for us today is to take this to heart, that yes, it's easy and it's even fun to think about helping other people be who God created them to be. And I love seeing that transformation happen in other people. I love seeing somebody who is in a tough spot in life, and then God just does something radical in their heart, and they become a whole new person, a new creation in Christ. And then they grow up in Him, and they begin to like serve and tell other people about Jesus. And it's just like, wow, is that even the same person? And the truth is that it's not. They've been transformed or metamorphosized into something completely different. But us as a church, as we go about this mission of trying to help people be, the first thing that we really need to do is stop and take a look at our own selves and say, Lord, as we enter into 2020, help me see what I can't see about myself. And we're going to ask the Lord to transform us individually first, because if we do that, then we know that God will provide the fruit that we're looking for. But the Bible says that unless you abide in Christ and unless He is in you, then you can do nothing. We're powerless to accomplish anything, because what we're talking about when we say help people be, it's really a supernatural thing. Like, you and I on our own cannot transform people. We can't change people to be more like God. Only God can do that. But He's invited us into this story to help us in this process. And so Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 talks about this transformation process. And we want to talk about it in light of looking at ourselves and looking at our individual church. Let's read verses 1 and 2. It says this: I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So Paul, like he always does, he started out in the book of Romans here, and for 11 chapters, he's just laid out a bunch of amazing doctrine, right? This is his pattern, is that he starts out with doctrine, and then he moves into duty. He starts with right thinking about God, and then he moves into right action or right lifestyle and living for God. And so he's laid out the groundwork of the gospel in chapters 1 through 11 about how merciful God is, about how God, the God of the universe, has ahead of time thought through everything He's going to do. He already knew what was going to happen, and He's calling people to salvation, people who had no desire whatsoever to be in a relationship with Him. He's loved them in advance, and now He's drawing them to Himself, and He's actually provided the way, and the way was through His Son, Jesus Christ, and now they can have new life because of them. And now Paul's turning the corner right here in these couple of verses, and he says, I appeal to you. I'm begging you. I'm putting this out there. I'm making a call. I'm giving you a challenge. And we want to do the same things this morning, is we want to challenge ourselves, and we want to hear this challenge from God's word, from the Apostle Paul, from the Lord Himself, to say, I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God. I don't appeal to you based on anything, based on just what I came up with or an idea that I had or something that I think you might try, but I am appealing to you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God. The mercies of God is what he's been talking about for 11 chapters, and especially there in chapter 11, he's talking about the mercy of God and how God, through his mercy, is inviting people in, not just Jewish people, but now also Gentile people, to come and be a part of this great mysterious plan of salvation. And he says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God. And what is the appeal that he's making? The appeal is this: to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Let me stop right there and point out something that we see really as a whole in both of these verses, that he's making an appeal and he's calling them in a whole life kind of a way. He talks about the body right here in this verse, but in chapter 2 he talks about the mind and he talks about the will. He's talking about the whole entire being, not just one portion of your life, but your whole entire being being transformed, metamorphosized into something completely different. And what's really cool here is that change is possible, right? The really cool thing is that change is totally possible. You and I are able to be changed. We don't have to continue to be the person that we are right now. No matter where you are, if you're here this morning and you would say, honestly, this is just like my second or third time here. I don't even know what you guys are talking about. I've heard about this guy Jesus and what you're saying that he's done for me, but I'm not sure that I believe that just yet. Or you might be here this morning and you would say, Pastor, I've been walking with Jesus longer than you've been alive. Praise the Lord for that. But no matter where you are on that spectrum, change is possible. Transformation can happen. You can become something different and better than you are right now. And so even though I know a lot of people in this church don't make New Year's resolutions, right? Let me see those hands. You did not make any resolutions. You resolved to not make a resolution. That was actually one resolution that you made. I'm going to challenge you this morning and appeal to you from the scriptures to say, let's have a resolution. Let's answer this appeal to be transformed, to be changed this year. So whatever you are right now at the beginning of 2020, that by the end of 2020, you can look back and say, man, God changed me this year. That was a total surprise. In fact, I couldn't even see the ways that I needed to be changed. My spouse could see them really good, but I couldn't even see, and God just totally came in and changed me, and I am a new person, different, better than I was before. Change is possible. And throughout this passage, you kind of can see this process that we've been talking about, this believe, belong, become process that happens in transformation. And let's keep reading. It says this, to present your bodies, here's the appeal, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. This is your reasonable service. There's one portion here that we want to talk about in regards to believing. He's reminding them, therefore, of the mercies of God. Everything that I've taught you in your minds up to this point should have convinced you, should bring you to the point in your faith where you are now ready to move your body into action, where you're ready to put yourself on the altar before God and say, Lord, I understand what you've done for me. I understand how you've given the greatest treasure in all of heaven so that I could be rescued, so that I could be saved. So my reasonable act of service, my spiritual worship, it just goes to follow that because of what you've done for me, it's not a really big math problem here. It's a pretty simple equation to say that it makes sense for me to now, therefore, because you are willing to give your life in my place, that I would be willing to live my life for you, that I would give my body to you so that you could do with it whatever you will. Giving your bodies as a sacrifice, a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. It's easy for people, even believers, to live a life that is truly not holy and pleasing to God. It's, in fact, pretty easy to live a life that's kind of unholy, that's not really pleasing to God, but it's just kind of coasting right down the middle, right? Where you feel like maybe I'm better than most of the people that I hang around with, and I see what the Apostle Paul is saying on this side, but man, that's kind of all in, go all in Christianity, lifestyle, like that's just consumes everything that I am. And it's human nature to want to just ride right there in the middle and not live a life that's truly holy and pleasing to God. To put everything that we do with our hearts, minds, bodies on the table, on the altar of sacrifice, and say, Lord, is this what you want for me this year? My appeal to us as a church this year is that with everything that we do in our minds and our bodies, with our will, that we would be willing to lay it down and say, God, change me, transform me, start with me, not with somebody else and not how they can improve or what I heard they're doing in their life. I mean, that's easy to get onto, right? And that kind of is a way of us being self-righteous. Hey, did you hear about so-and-so? Oh my gosh, yeah. What is wrong with her? Doesn't she know she's not supposed to do that? Oh my goodness. That dude, I can't believe that he's treating his wife that way, or that he's fill in the blank, and we all fall into that except for me. Just kidding. It's so easy to listen to the gossip because then it sets you up for self-righteousness. But when we remember the mercies of God, then our prayer changes and says, God, change me. Make me more like you this year. Transform my mind and my thinking and give me a heart of mercy toward people so that I can be a completely different person in Christ. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Your worship is not just coming here on a Sunday morning, although that is part of your worship. Your worship is not just coming here and singing songs. Singing music to God is an expression of our worship, but it's not the starting point for worship, right? The starting point for worship is God. The starting point for worship is what God has already done for you and me, and our worship is a response. When we recognize what he has done, we respond in worship. It is the reasonable thing that we should do. And so Paul goes on in verse 2 and he says this, do not be conformed to this world. So now that we've thought about it, we've got our thinking right, we understand how much God has done for us and how holy and righteous he is and how undeserving we were of his grace and his mercy and how in spite of that, he lavished that upon us. Then it seems, perhaps to some, like a hard call. Don't conform to this world. Basically, what that is saying there is, don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. Don't be around the world so much that you are just conformed more than you even realize, and you are worldly. Maybe a worldly person that attends church service on a regular basis. There's so much more available to you and I. There's the abundant life that God has made available that we can live into if we would just follow him and allow him to transform us. And so Paul gives them a negative and a positive. He says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. And so, once again, when he talks about body, when he talks about mind, when he talks about will, really what he's getting at here, if you study the whole two verses as a whole unit, he's talking about your whole being. Not just, hey, let me learn a bunch of facts about God, and then I'll be changed. Yes, your mind needs to be renewed day in and day out, right? Be transformed by the renewal of your mind. But the Bible also says this, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And Jesus even accused the Pharisees of thinking. He says, I know what you're thinking in your hearts. And so as we think about this, what we don't want to do is just reach in and pull out one aspect and say, this is Christianity. It's just strictly an intellectual approach to life. If I can just memorize more scriptures or know more doctrine, then I'll be different. The Bible never separates doctrine and duty. It never separates learning and lifestyle. It's a holistic thing. And so there's a renewal of our minds and our bodies and our wills that need to be happening on the daily so that we can be transformed. That word transformed there, in the Greek, we actually get our word metamorphosis from that word. And it's basically pointing to a process that's happening, not just a one-time event. Your salvation, your birth, your new birth, you being born again was, yes, it was an amazing event planned by God. And it was, boom, it happened at a certain time in a certain moment. But then after that, just like a little baby growing up and changing and becoming an adult, there's a process that happens, a metamorphosis that happens stage by stage, where we are transformed from a cute little baby into a really ugly human being, right? Talking about myself, not you guys. And that's what we want to have happen in our spiritual lives as well. We want to be transformed by the renewal of our minds. You know, you can really pick up in there too this idea of not just believing, but this idea of belonging in this passage as well. Where do you see that, Pastor? Well, I see it in a couple places in here where he's appealing to you, brothers, in the plural. I'm talking to you as a whole group. I'm appealing to you, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Your bodies, plural. Anybody here have two bodies? One at home? One here? No? He's talking about bodies as in the bodies that are here as a part of the body of Christ. But he also says that... let me remember what I was thinking about here. Do not be conformed to this world. So in the negative, he's saying, yes, brothers, I'm appealing to you all to be changed, but I'm appealing to you also in another sense, that you wouldn't be conformed to this world or by this world. Why does he say that? Because as you and I know, it's really easy to be changed by the people you hang out with. In fact, you may have heard this before, that you're basically the sum total of the five people that you spend the most time with. All right? Now, take a couple minutes. Let's change that to seconds. Take a couple seconds. Who are the five people that you hang out with the most? That's you, right? You put all them together, you melt them down, boom, that's you. And so he's saying, don't be conformed by the world, which you will be conformed by the world. If you're living in the world and you're allowing the world to shape you, you will be conformed. But if you are living in the church and you are a part of the body of Christ and you belong to a family, those people that you then allow to have influence on your life will shape you and change you, and you'll become more and more like them. So if you see somebody in the life of the church where you say, man, I want to be more like that guy. Man, I want to be more like that lady right there. Spend time with that person. Don't be conformed by the world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. The renewal of your mind happens in several ways. Yes, it happens through the study of the scriptures, through the listening of the preaching of the word, but it also happens in relationships with other people where your mind is renewed and changed by other people who love and follow Jesus. Amen? Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Why? That by testing, you may discern, you may figure out, the light bulb will come on, what is the will of God, and what is good and acceptable and perfect. You see, it's easy for us to want our own will and our own way, to take our body and our mind and to use them to accomplish our goals. It's a really hard thing to lay our will on the sacrifice, on the altar, and say, Lord, this year in 2020, I want what you want. My career, my plans, my school, my relationships, I'm putting them down here on this altar and I'm giving them to you. And I'm allowing you to take them and shape them and change them. And no matter what, if I feel like it's a hard thing to do, and if I feel like, yes, Lord, I know I'm in a relationship that I shouldn't be in, I give that to you. Lord, I'm scared to do that. I feel like I need this person. But in spite of that, I realize that I need you and your mercy more than I need a person. So, Lord, let me cling on to you this year instead of clinging on to people who really can't offer anything close to what God can offer in your life. Amen? Become who God wants you to be by surrendering your will and allowing Him to show you His will instead. Lots of people say, well, Pastor, I just want to know what the will of God is. Could you tell me, what do you think the will of God is in my life? You know, you as a believer indwelt by the Holy Spirit can discern what the will of God is. You can discern what the will of God is through the renewal of your mind, through surrendering your life to God and just saying, Lord, whatever you want, I say yes to that. You can discern what the will of God is by living in community with other believers and allowing them to speak in your life instead of just living the way that you want to in 2020. And once in a while you go, I wonder if God's got any great, amazing plans for my life this year. Like, what we want is like this big thing, right? Like, what is this huge thing that you want to do in my life? When really, there's a whole lot of small steps along the way. Steps of surrendering, to following Jesus to help you be able to discern what God's will is in your life. Well, I just want to know the big thing. I got some goals for you this year. Here's a few goals that we'd love to see happen in this church this year that will help you be transformed. Number one, in 2020, here's a 2020 goal for you. A 20-minute daily encounter with Jesus. That's the number one goal that I'd love to share with us as an entire church this year. And we're going to take steps in that direction to make that happen, to make that possible. It'll be up to you to say yes to the dress. But the first Sunday in February at 9:30, I'm going to be teaching a class on how to have a daily encounter with Christ. And so I'd love to see that classroom packed out with everybody going, actually, I already know how to do this. I just need a kick in the pants. I used to do that, but I kind of fell off, and I'm not sure why. I've been lying to myself, and I tell myself I've been studying the Bible on a regular basis, but honestly, if I look back, I really haven't been doing that well. 20 minutes, daily encounter. What do I mean by that? 20 minutes in 2020 will change your life, will transform you. It's a step-by-step daily habit where you surrender to God and say, therefore, by the mercies of God, my reasonable service is to have my mind renewed, not with one overwhelming, powerful sermon, but with daily time with Jesus Christ in His Word, my mind will be renewed. And in that setting, we'll be able to share with you how to simply study the Word of God and pray for 20 minutes a day. Now, you may be here this morning, Pat, and you might be like, Pastor, I study the Word for 2 hours a day. Praise the Lord for you. That is awesome. We're not asking you to scale back to 20 minutes. Please don't do that. You stay where you're at or try to push forward. But for a lot of folks, 20 minutes a day is a big jump. And so we just want to say, what would happen if every single person that's a part of the Belmont family would commit to saying, you know what, in 2020, I'm going to do 20 minutes a day with Jesus. It would transform your life, and to be honest with you, it will transform this church family. What else can we do in 2020? I got a second goal for 2020, and that's simply this, that twice a month, you would participate in community in the life of the church. Now, you might say, well, Pastor, I really like coming on Sundays, but like I'm not a real people person. I'm kind of introverted, or it doesn't really work with my schedule. It's really inconvenient. Let me ask you this year, if you want to be transformed, to inconvenience yourself for the sake of community with God's people. Well, I don't even really like everybody that goes to this church. That's okay. Actually, the Bible tells us that through your trials and tribulations, God will grow you in patience, and He'll change you through that as well. And so being around people that you don't really like Wes, will actually, everybody loves Wes, what am I talking about? Thank you, sir. It will change you and make you more like Jesus. Don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed. One of the ways you do that is by belonging. Once again, if you're here and you're like, Pastor, I never miss a community group. I've discovered how important it is to be in relationship with God's people, and I am being changed because of it, and I go every single week, 4 times a month. I never miss. We're not saying scale back. But for some folks who might be here that have just not yet put their toe in the water and tried out a group, or maybe you did it for a while and you pulled back, I'm going to challenge you. You're going to hear here in a few minutes about all the groups that we have coming up that are getting ready to start up. And I want you to go, you know what? No matter how I feel, I'm going to present my body as a living sacrifice this year, and I'm going to get my body to that life group, to that community group, and I'm going to put myself around those people so that I could be transformed in 2020. And here's one more goal for 2020. And these kind of fall into the believe, belong, become categories here. That believe, spend 20 minutes a day in a daily encounter with Jesus and grow in your faith and what you understand about God. Belong, twice a month minimum, get to a community group and belong to this family. Go the next step in belonging to a community of faith. And then become, I want to challenge you to serve twice a month here at Belmont. Now, you might go, well, what in the world does that mean? Well, it's really easy. Serving is a great way to put your gifts into action. The way that you're wired, how God made you, is so cool and so unique. And there are so many ways, as we'll learn next week, about how God wants to plug you in into the body and allow your giftings to come out. And so I want to encourage you to serve twice a month. And you might say, well, how do I do that? I'm glad you asked. You might say, well, I'm just kind of new. I haven't found my place yet. Well, out in the lobby right after church, we have a couple of folks, Ed and Christy Shepherd. They are our volunteer engagement specialists. And if you go out there, talk to them, they'll figure you out in like 10 seconds. And they'll be like, boom, I got the perfect spot for you to serve. Now, I know for some of you, you're like, twice a month? You mean I can scale back from 10 times a month to just 2 times? No, I'm not saying that. Hold on. We got to get these new folks plugged in and allow them to serve before you can let off the gas. But serving is such a cool way. It could be simply handing out a bulletin and being friendly on a Sunday morning, showing up a little bit early. It could be coming during the week and mowing the grass once that grass starts growing again. It could be coming to paint a wall in the building. It could be going on one of our mission trips that we'll be doing this year. There's a million different ways that you could serve on one of our ministry teams. And I want to challenge you in 2020 to make an effort to really serve at least twice a month. If you'll do those things, if you'll put in that effort, I believe that God will use the seeds that you've planted to begin to transform you, to renew your mind, because now you're thinking differently because you're in the Word. You're acting differently because you're around different people who love Jesus. And you're becoming somebody different because you're actually blossoming and putting your gifts into action. And when you do that, God takes what you've learned and who you've become, and He uses it to be a blessing to other people. Amen? Let's be a church that's transformed this year, that's different, that's changed. And I believe that if you'll give God the chance, He'll make you completely new. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you so much.